All right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio. It is Wednesday, so you know what that means, right? It's hump day.
Hump day.
Say it. Hump day. Hump day. Yeah. Anyway, I think those commercials are hilarious with the camels.
Yeah.
pretty much always awesome to have that. So sometimes I'll post on social media. Guess what day it is with a picture of a camel.
And finally, a camel becomes the cool talking animal, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it had some dark days back when, you know, cigarettes were considered cool.
It's come a long way.
You know, made a lot of difference over the years.
Some changes in its life.
For anyone who says that you can't change, just look at the camels.
Yeah. It's going from killing lives to making people feel good about life.
Right?
So.
Exactly. It's like, you're halfway through the week, you can make it.
You can do this, you know.
I mean, it's a far cry from, hey, smoke these and you will lose your lung.
But I mean, just have fun anyway. You know, yeah. There goes your jaw, but, you know.
I miss my lung, Bob. You ever see those, like the anti-smoking ads? They were kind of the same thing. It's like, I miss my lung, Bob. It's kind of funny.
No, I just remember the really sad ones where it's like people who've had, I don't know, like surgery and stuff, and I don't know. But, so.
Anyway, before we get going too far, I just want to remind everyone where our station ID is, 92.3, or KBLU, 92.3 Logan, Utah. Pretty soon we're going to be actually broadcasting on that station.
Once we can nail down the engineer.
We've got to practice and make sure that we're saying it enough, because the FCC would not be happy if we're not. So yeah, we got to do that. But also, make sure you're listening in today at noon for a chance to win tickets to Slightly Stupid. They have a concert tomorrow night. And we're giving away tickets at noon today. And so make sure you're tuning in. I don't know exactly how to do it, but our advisor, Nate Larson, is going to be giving away those tickets at noon. And be ready to text in or call in. So he'll say exactly what you've got to do, but make sure you're listening. Because, I mean, free tickets to a concert. And heard one song, we were listening to it yesterday in our meeting, and it was pretty awesome. So definitely be ready for that. But moving on into, you know, the meat of our program, which is sports.
It's generally what we're known for here.
I've tried to get that across to people, but I don't know. Hopefully people get that vibe without us having to say it, but
not everybody's a sharp tool. So
yeah, but I believe everyone listening right now would be able to know that already. Unless this is your first time, then you're like, oh, I don't know what's going to be on. So sports from 9 to 10, Monday and then Wednesday through Friday. So don't have anything on Tuesday at the moment. We're going to be having Nate Larson is going to be doing 90s at 9. So he's going to be playing 90s music on Tuesdays at 9. So it's pretty exciting. But with the sports world, there's not as much going on as there normally is. The summer, surprisingly, is kind of the dead time for sports.
Yep. All the winter sports are the fall, winter, and spring sports are done. And it's pretty much just baseball for the next 3 months.
So, yeah, and then like a lot of people don't.
So I apologize if someone's not the biggest baseball fan, but
yeah, a lot of people aren't huge on baseball, but I mean it's a fun sport to play. Occasionally it can be pretty boring to watch, but it all depends on what you're watching for. If you're trying to get some appreciation for something, then
I think if you're like a stats person, baseball is really fun. You know, if you're into the keeping track of all that.
I mean, it's always awesome. Like, everyone, even if you don't like baseball, I think, this is a guess, because I like baseball enough that I think it's cool, but whenever you have, like, a no-hitter going or a perfect game or, like, a one-hit shutout, like, it's exciting to watch because of just, like, how dominant the pitcher is over the offense of the other team. And so I think it's awesome whenever I hear that one's going on and be like, oh, yeah, sweet.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, this is probably later on in the summer, but you start looking at pennant races and who's going to make the wild card cut, and so playoffs it picks up a little bit.
Playoffs. Are you kidding me?
About playoffs?
We're not talking about playoffs.
So, the bench. I don't know of a guy who comes off the bench.
Playoffs. The
Allen Iverson bench rant. Or it's like, and then he had the practice rant. It was like, practice. We're talking about practice.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some seriously interesting things sometimes.
Yeah.
When you interview people. And that kind of leads into the segment that I love doing every week. And, well, twice a week, actually, because we do the show twice a week.
There's.
But is the wall of shame.
There's enough shame for twice a week now.
Yeah. Oh, there's always shame going around.
Somewhere in the world.
I've got two entries this week. How many, do you have one or two? Or
I've got one, but it's a big one.
All right. Well, big shame. I'm going to do one, and then I'm going to let you do yours, and I'll do my other one. But starting out, for my first entry into the wall of shame, this comes from baseball. There's actually a professional baseball player. And I'm going to bring up his name so I don't get it wrong. So Jose Altuve, he tripped was tripped by his own helmet when he was rounding the bases. So he was going for a triple, and I think he was maybe he was trying to complete the cycle. I don't remember for sure, but
desperate.
But anyway, he got this really awesome hit. He wanted to get a triple. He was going to get it, but as he was about to round second, his helmet came off. And it hit his legs, and I don't know if...
Did he get out?
No, he didn't get out, but he tripped as he was going around things, and he fell down and had to, cower back to second because of the embarrassment.
Crawling his way back to second.
Yeah, basically. I mean, he was, he wasn't that far. He didn't get that far past second because he fell down as he was, crossing the area where second is. Okay. And so he was, falling as he passed over second. I mean, he did step on it, but he was already, lost his balance. And so
that's a new one, though. Second. The helmet?
Yeah.
That's a new one. I've never,
seen. He's got his head tipped back, and it falls off.
You've got to be really, moving your head to get a helmet to fall off.
Well, I mean, it's easier for the professionals because they have the one side isn't even tight.
I guess I'm thinking of the Little League ones where it was
with both sides, yeah.
Foam padding that was cutting off circulation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean those cutting off circulation.
At least the helmets I tried on were always oh, this is
yeah, they're always super tight.
Uncomfortable.
But yeah, the other guy, all right, so the MLB, hardly anyone uses that.
Yeah.
If you're a switch hitter, you probably will, but if you're only batting one way.
It's usually has the one ear.
Yeah, they only do it on the one ear. So anyway, it's a little bit easier for it to come off. But it was just hilarious because he's running the bases, and it falls off and hits his legs, and he ends up falling over. It's pretty ridiculous. Look it up. Jose Altuve.
I'm going to have to do that.
And, yeah, so because of that, he gets an entry into the wall of shame.
Bravo, Jose. All right. Well, the one I decided to bring, this one is of historical proportions. Kansas City Royals pitcher Edinson Volquez set the Major League per inning run rate, I think that this past week, with 12 runs allowed in less than an inning, which is the first time that has happened in the entire modern era of baseball.
That's crazy.
This is historical. One for the history books, but I can't remember who they were playing, but 12 runs in less than an inning, which apparently hasn't happened since the 1800s. So.
I'm really surprised by that.
So you know it's bad. But,
yeah, it's super bad. Because, I mean, how do you give up that much? I mean, how does the manager allow you to be in there for long enough to do that?
I know. It's like if it was one inning and it's like, four run or three runs, I would be like, yeah, maybe we should just take him out. You know?
But all the way 12 runs. How? Yeah, does that happen?
I have no clue, but and apparently neither does the rest of the major leagues since it hasn't happened in over 100 years or something. So I think that's pretty shameworthy. If you know the entire modern era of baseball was going moderately well for pitchers. And you just bring down everybody's everybody's average goes down thanks to Volquez.
Well, not only is he bringing down everyone's average, he's also bringing down everybody's spirit. Come on, dude, really? You're making us all look bad.
Especially on a
it's
team.
It's bad enough that people don't want to watch baseball already.
Especially on a team that part of its success was, you know, last year was built on its, you know, pitching staff and the bullpen, among other things. But, you know, that's, yeah, so there's that. Another baseball act of shame for this week.
Shame. 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 By the way, they revisited the whole shame thing in Game of Thrones, and it was pretty awesome. I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to give spoilers, but it's just funny because they brought it back up, and I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Shame.
Shame. But anyway, and so, jumping on to my other one, this one goes out to Charles Barkley, who...
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Wall of Shame, my friend. You have a way with words that allows you to get onto our Wall of Shame kind of consistently. I mean, so Charles Barkley was obviously a great player in the NBA. But as an analyst, sometimes I think he's brain dead.
Like,
at least in with regards of using common sense. And good judgment. So, I mean, lots of times he says stuff that just is extremely dumb to me. And he did it again. That's why, obviously why he's going into the Wall of Shame. But, so HBO has this new sports show, sports-themed show, with Bill Simmons. It's Any Given Wednesday, so it's going to be on tonight. But he just started last week, I believe, and Charles Barkley was one of his guests. And... when he was on it, you know, Bill Simmons is asking, hey, so do you think with this victory, does LeBron move up on your list or whatever? And so, like, he's got his top 10 or whatever. And so his top 5, if I'm remembering right, and hopefully I'm getting this right, but he has Michael Jordan, then Oscar Robertson, because he averaged a triple-double one season, and then Bill Russell, and he has, like, Magic and... Larry Bird, maybe, or maybe they were a little bit lower. No, Wilt was one, and then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Anyway, so that was his top five, and then after that he has Kobe Bryant, and then Tim Duncan, and then LeBron. And
okay,
which is fine. I mean, if that's how he feels about it.
I mean, most of that list is pretty good.
But. Yeah, yeah. But that's not why he gets on the Wall of Shame this week. The reason why he gets on the Wall of Shame this week is because he said... his top five will never change. I mean, okay, you can say it probably won't ever change because I probably won't think anyone is better. But to flat out say it will never change, you know, taking disregarding the possibility of someone having, you know, a better, like the best career ever, and you're going to say right now, my top five will never change. And the thing about it is with LeBron James, they said that if, like, he could pass Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant, like if they, okay, if he wins another championship or something. But, like, in my mind, I think that, you know, LeBron hasn't done everything that those other guys have done yet. I still think he might. But he, I would say that he is a better player than anyone on that list because he does so many things for his team. On, like, every facet, defense, rebounding, assists. I mean, during the NBA Finals, he led every major statistical category for both teams.
Wow.
He's going against the team that set the record for the most wins in the regular season, and they come back from 3-1. So that is all super impressive.
Well, not, I mean, not just this year, but I think it's, like, pretty much every year for the past...
yeah, he's always...
so years, it's almost a guarantee to get to the finals. Having him on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a huge difference because, you know, the team goes from, like, the Cavs, they won, like, 30 games, and then he came back, and then they make it to the finals last year, and then they win the finals this year. And so, obviously, he's, I don't know, he's always the most valuable player in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, up until he's, like, he drops off because of his age, they're going to give the award to different people, but honestly, he is the most valuable player. And I don't know, like, I feel like he's more valuable than any of those other guys because of just everything that he does. Now, like I said, he hasn't achieved everything that those other guys have. I mean, he probably won't ever win, 11 rings?
Yeah, that might be
like Bill Russell.
Yeah, he would have probably had to win, like, every NBA Finals to get...
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Still, but at the same time, it's a different era. Like, back in that time, there was, like, a couple teams that were dominant. Yeah. And so it was easy for one team to just keep going and winning. And that's why...
Well, and fewer teams, period, you know.
Yeah.
Just fewer teams.
That's true. And then also the level of competition wasn't great. There was, like, a few guys that were elite athletes, and then everybody else was just kind of average. They would be, like... You know, role players now were starters and stuff. Yeah. And so, I mean, he probably won't ever get 11 championships, but that doesn't stop people from making Michael Jordan, you know, above, like, the best player ever.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, based on achievements, like, I mean, I would say he's there at the moment, but I would say that I think LeBron is a better player all around. You know, maybe MJ is better about, like, having that killer instinct to finish off people. But you can't deny what LeBron has done. And to say, as Charles Barkley, to say that your top five will never change, you don't give any option of that, is ridiculous in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm fine with him having that as his top five.
Yeah.
But you can't say you'll never change it. I mean, you can't determine what's going to happen in the future. What happens if you have a player come in and they average like 40 points a game for their entire career and end up winning a championship every year?
Yeah.
You're going to say, yeah, no, he can't be in the top five. I said I would never change it.
Well, yeah. And plus, it's like, even trying to compare players from different eras is tough.
Yeah.
So to say that the discussion is over is even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's like, even now, where we can agree that, you know, guys like Michael Jordan are, you know, can be argued as the greatest player ever. Yeah. There's still always like, oh, well, it's also 20 years apart. There's different elements in the game. There's different ways it's played now. So even now, when we can say, like, have these debates, it's still, you know, you still got the era as a factor. And so to say that the conversation is done.
Yeah.
Is just, there's no good reason for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's my biggest thing. Like, I mean, if he feels like those five won't ever be beaten by anyone, I mean, that's fine. But don't say your top five will never change, because, I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's say LeBron goes off and rolls off three straight finals after this one gets a four-peat. Like, you're really going to say that he's not one of the top five players of all time?
Especially just all the ones, even the ones he didn't win.
I mean, yeah.
To get there every year.
He's been there 6 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah. So what if he does get to like 10 finals in a row?
I mean, yeah, he's also lost three of them.
Yeah.
But he's won three of them.
But to get there is no easy
feat. Yeah, and he's done it with he's done it with two different teams.
Yeah.
Like, he did it 4 years in a row. He went with the Heat, and then 2 years now with the Cavs. I wouldn't be surprised if they're back again next year. I mean, he did opt out of his contract today, I think. But I assume he's going to come back. He opts out of it because he can sign for more money now.
$24 million
But option. The salary cap going up, he can make more money, and that's why he's doing this. And so I assume he's going to sign the same contract, a one-year deal with a 1 year option for him.
Well, I mean,
and then he's going to opt out of it again next year and then get more money.
Yeah, I mean, you think about him too. I mean, you could argue going to Miami was a different thing because they had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. But then coming back to Cleveland, it was a good team, but it's not like superstars the way playing with someone like Dwayne
Wade would be either. Even with playing with Dwayne Wade, he was the best player on the team.
Yeah.
You know, he had a rough first finals with the Heat. He didn't play well at all. But after that, I mean, he was MVP of the finals the 2 years that they won. He was the only one that did anything against the Spurs that fourth year that they were together, as the Spurs just destroyed them.
Yeah.
He was like, he couldn't get any help from his team. He comes back to Cleveland. He lost his two biggest key players on his team last year in the playoffs. So he was by himself and did a pretty good job against the Warriors, but there was just too much. And then this year, he led every statistical category, so yeah, he was obviously the best player.
Yeah, and I think that the point is that he can take his skill set to pretty much any decent team.
Yeah.
And automatically that you can think that that team could go to the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how good he is.
Yeah,
is that he can take people who aren't superstars and take them all the way. So it's...
Yeah. I mean, so. You just look at it this way. When he was on Cleveland, they were always in the playoffs, and usually they were the number one seed. You know, he made it to the finals back really early on his career in like 2007, I want to say, and then went to the Spurs and got swept because he didn't have anyone on his team. Like the second best player was like John Hughes, who was okay. You know, like he's a kind of a role player,
yeah,
a good shooter, but I mean that's your second best guy, and then he still kept them relevant every year he was in Cleveland. And then he goes to Miami to get some help or whatever because the front office wasn't doing anything for him. Like, they weren't actively, like, trying to get another superstar or someone who was at least better than the guys that they already had. They were just kind of like, you know, we're making money, so we're not going to worry about it. I mean,
yeah,
maybe they were trying to do stuff, but they weren't getting it done. And so I didn't blame it all for leaving. I know that he regrets how he did it, and I don't think he did a good job of how he did it. Doing the whole ESPN special where he's like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. That he didn't handle that well. And he knows it, and he regrets it. But other than that, like he's been a great person and great about how he handles his business. But then he goes to Miami, and instantly... they're like, you're like, oh crap, they're gonna win the next like 20 years. He goes in, they make it to the finals their first year. They
I think that was
still
a loss.
Were trying to gel. They didn't,
I think that was a loss to Dallas. That,
yeah, they lost year. To Dallas. They kind of struggled. But I mean, mostly it was him, like, he just kind of didn't really seem like he knew what he was trying to do. He kind of seemed like a shell of himself during that series. And the biggest problem with that team was they didn't know who takes the shot at the end of the game. Like, Dwayne Wade is a great closer. LeBron James is a good closer. And even, like, Chris Bosh is a good player. And so they had all three of those guys that, like, well, like, who should we defer to at the end of the game? And that first year, like, they kind of didn't really know, and Dwayne Wade would do it sometimes, and LeBron would do it sometimes, but no one confidently was like, yeah, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, after that, LeBron kind of took that over a little bit, and they obviously came back and won two in a row, and everyone thought they were going to get that third one in a row, and then the Spurs just destroyed them,
yeah,
which was awesome for me as a Spurs fan. It was great.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the first game was, like, tight, and then, like, the second game, the Spurs just blew them out of the water. And then, like, the third game, I think the Heat won, but then they won, like, the next two or something.
Now, like,
it was awesome.
I'm just, like, trying to see your opinion on it, but also into that, is a factor that the East might be easier than the West? I mean,
oh,
is
it
that,
is. Yeah.
Does that affect... I mean, I've got no opinion on it. I mean, I know that the West is more... is tougher, I guess, than when in the East, but still, that wouldn't like take away anything, do you think, from
his legacy,
from the fact that he's been like every year if you're playing in the East?
I don't think so, because I mean it still is a tall order to be able to do it, because there are always like a few good teams at the top of the East, but like his team is always the best because he's on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at it, he left the Cavs, and instantly the next year, they dropped off hard. Like, they ended up getting the first pick after the next season because of how bad they did during the season. They had enough lottery chances that they won it. They won three out of the four lotteries after he left. You know, they got the first the number one pick in the three of the four, like, times after he left, which some people will say is, you know, the league, you know, rigging it to kind of make up for, hey, you know, it sucks you lost LeBron,
yeah,
so we're going to give
you
the first pick.
That'd be a big loss, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, huge loss. And, you know, maybe it is, and I don't really want to get into that right now, but even, like, they had those, But three out of the next 4 years, they get the number one pick, which tells you their team is not doing well.
Yeah.
You know, even when they were starting to look okay again the year before he came back, they barely got to 30 wins in the East. And, I mean, that's bad. Like, yeah. Even with Kyrie Irving, like, they only had, like, 30 wins. Yeah. And they still got the number one pick.
Yeah.
And they got Andrew Wiggins, but then they traded him for Kevin Love. But, yeah, it's the team couldn't even smell the playoffs after he left. It wasn't like a ton of different people from that team just left. I mean, it was basically just him. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously you lose a couple other guys in free agency, but, you know, he left and they had nothing. And so...
So it's still him.
Yeah, it's still him. And then he goes back immediately and the team goes from like 30 wins to 60. And he, you know, suddenly they're the number one team in the East again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a common denominator there that he's the guy. Clearly the best player on the planet right now. And you could make the argument that he's the best player of all time. He hasn't gotten all the accolades yet, but he also has done more in like the first, I think it's 13 years of his career than like anybody else has as far as winning MVPs and titles. Like,
it's
Jordan,
crazy.
Jordan, like he struggled for the first like big chunk of his career.
Yeah, because he started in like 84, I think, right?
Something like that.
84, 83. But
he comes into the league and he gets to the playoffs and he, like, they get swept when he was a rookie or something. Anyway, he can't get out of the first round for a few years. Eventually, you know, he gets, you know, he has Scottie Pippen and like all these other guys who are good players. And finally, he breaks through and gets three championships in a row. And then he retires because he was getting investigated for something. And then comes back and wins three more. So, I mean, going 6-for-6 in the finals is amazing. Like,
yeah, and
I don't know if
MVP.
People are going to be able to do that again. But
well, he got MVP, I think, all 6 years.
I wouldn't be. I mean, I don't know who else you would give it to. I mean, Scottie Pippen's a good player, but he's not MJ.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's also – Scottie Pippen is one of the premier players from the history of the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got lucky. They drafted him, to my understanding, that they traded for him on draft night or something. Anyway, he spent all his career there. It was kind of – Michael Jordan didn't succeed completely until he had some other pieces around him. And you can't. You can't win in a team league without other good pieces around you. And kind of it was pretty frustrating when everybody – was bagging on LeBron for going to Miami.
Yeah.
But as I was saying, like the front office wasn't doing anything to
help
him.
They're not gonna build a team for you. Yeah. It's just
And so I mean and then like all these former legends like Larry Bird and I think Michael Jordan said it too, but they're all like, yeah, I wouldn't go over and play with Magic. Like I wanted to beat him.
Yeah.
But it's like LeBron, he was really patient for a long time in Cleveland, and they just weren't giving him anything. And you can't win by yourself.
Yeah, it's like he couldn't go to the Sixers and lead them
to
the final. Like, even as good as he is,
you
would still at least need something in place to back you up.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, as good as Michael Jordan was, he wasn't able to do it alone.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to get very far alone in the playoffs. You know, he can put up 69 points on the Sixers when he's, you know, early on his career, but they didn't win anything at that point because he was mostly alone.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean the couple of years he was with the Wizards, nothing happened.
Yeah, I mean,
obviously that's at the end of his career, but still, he's no scrub even when he's old, you know.
Yeah, that's at the end of his career. He still was probably the best player on their team, but
yeah.
He wasn't as transcendently good as he was before because of his age. And also, like, he didn't have anybody else.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you can't win by yourself. So LeBron, like, he wants to win. Like, that's the biggest thing for him is he wants to win. And so when Cleveland wasn't getting him any help, you know, he's like, okay, well, I've got to go somewhere where I can have help. And so he went down to Miami because he was really good friends with Dwayne Wade. Like, they're like, best friends. And he wanted to go play with him. He's like, I'm not getting any help in Cleveland. Like, I've tried, and it's not working out, so I'm going to go there. And Chris Bosh jumped on, too. And so, you know, at that point, like, he was able to find some success. And, And another thing that I think it was important for him to go to Miami, because he was finally able to taste what it was like to have success and see kind of some ways to finish. Like, he learned some stuff from Dwayne Wade and how he closes games, and just kind of how he takes advantage of some situations. And he got that taste of winning. And so when his contract was up, he comes back to Cleveland, and who they're real apologetic and like, oh, we always loved you, even though we burned your jersey. And
they were in their half-burned LeBron James jerseys.
No, we didn't burn them. We've had these forever. I know they look brand new, but I mean, we've had them forever. But anyway, so he goes back and he's able to have that understanding. And I have to look at this in a sec. But he starts with he understands how he's supposed to win the game. And so when he gets back, he knows how to win, and he's able to lead his team. He does have pieces around him.
Yeah.
And clearly, Kyrie Irving was the one who hit the big shot in Game 7. But that block was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that was, stretching to get that, but.
And I need to do a quick clarification for our station manager, Mikey Kettinger. I'm not saying LeBron is better, like, overall. I mean, obviously MJ's done more, but I think overall as a player, I think that he would win on a one-on-one. I think that he would be a better player to have on any team. Obviously, MJ's done more. I can't surpass him yet, but I think that LeBron could surpass him. Like, as far as talent goes, I think that LeBron is better all around. But obviously, I can't say that he is the best player in NBA history yet. But I'm saying he can be. So. I'm not saying that he's past MJ yet. I'm just saying I think that he can. I think that he is a better player all around, but he hasn't earned best player yet. But time will tell. Maybe he's not able to do anything after this. He could have a fall off, and the MJ could stay in there. And like I said, maybe he's not in the top five right now, but he could be, like, in the next couple of years. But anyway, I mean, I spent a lot more time on that than I was really planning on it.
That was a long wall of shame.
It was mostly just about Charles Barkley saying that LeBron couldn't be in the top five. And,
I think that just shows, my final word on it. It's I think the fact that the discussion came out of that, I think, shows that you can't just say, these are my top five. Nothing can ever change. So.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to my whole thing. This will never happen as a sports analyst. Like, you can't do that. I mean, with the Cavs, I was going to say the Heat, but I was like, no, wrong year. So when Stephen A. Smith said the Cavs couldn't win the finals, that they were done, it's like, I called him out on it on this show anyway, not to his face, obviously, because I have no way of contacting him. I think, I don't know, maybe I said something on Twitter, but I doubt it. I did that with Deion Sanders. But anyway, goes on and says the Cavs can't win the finals, and look, they go and win the finals. And Deion Sanders last year, in the middle of the regular season for the NFL, says the Broncos can't win the Super Bowl, so they're done. And what do? They go and win the Super Bowl. It's just like, sure, go ahead, have that opinion, but don't say it can't happen. Just say you don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Like, you can't imagine it happening. And then later on, when you're wrong, you say, well, they did a Herculean effort. But when you go out there and you say this can't happen or this will not happen, you really...
Well, I think it fuels the players.
I think it does.
Nobody ever is going to accept that they can't win.
Until they statistically can't.
Yeah, I mean, unless you really know, but...
It's like, when your team is officially eliminated from the playoffs.
That's what you know.
And you're like, they won't win the Super Bowl this year. That is fine. But when your team... I mean, the Broncos were 7-2 or something at that point. Like, they're still one of the top teams in the league, and you're eliminating them. I don't know. Not a great idea. But yes, I mean, that's kind of my take on this whole thing is, if you're reporting about anything really, but especially sports, don't count a team out that still has a chance. Like, you better, it has to be like logistically impossible. Like, you, if you have a record that's too low, like if you're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you can say the team won't win the championship. That's fine. But when the team has a decent chance to make it, you know, even if you don't think they're the best team, you know, you can't say that they won't do it, because you really never know. Yeah. I mean, even with the Patriots going 16-0 in the regular season, they get through the AFC playoffs and they get to the Super Bowl at 18-0, going for the perfect season, and then they lose. I mean, to a Giants team who I think was 10-6 that year. I mean, that's pretty much how they rolled. Is they barely limp into the playoffs, and then suddenly they win three games in a row, or four games in a row, and win the Super Bowl. And so you never know.
Yeah,
you never know. Any given day, any team can beat any team. And sometimes our idea of which team is actually better is wrong. Yeah. Like when the Broncos played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, you know, I thought for sure the Broncos were the better team because of how good their offense was. Well, see, the Seahawks came out and destroyed Denver, which was really sad for me. It was a rough game to watch. But, I mean, it's just like you never know. A ton of times the team that isn't favored is the one that wins. So, anyway, so you kind of wanted to get into some power rankings for the MLB,
a little bit,
right?
At least some of the top few teams, and then there's one other thing I might then we'll get into something else later. But this week, Cubs and Rangers, first teams in the MLB to get to 50 wins each. The Cubs have been atop the power rankings for like the 12 straight weeks, and they've gone like 9-11 over the past little bit, and so it's kind of, people worried about, you know, the Cubs falling off, or they finally slowing down, and kind of what seems to be the consensus, at least from what I read, is that people shouldn't be panicking too early. But as a Cubs fan, I know better than to stay calm about you know, when they start
it's blowing it.
Fine. It's never,
they're gonna be fine.
But because I mean, the Giants and Cubs, at least in the National League, have been going at it all season about who can be number one, and the Giants definitely are on the better streak right now. Although currently, as it stands, Cubs 50-26, Giants 49-30. So obviously Giants staying in there, but you know, had a chance to eclipse the Cubs, haven't done it so far. But it's an even numbered year, so so the Giants, you just never know. So Texas, though, I'm surprised they're kind of running away with the American League at this point. With 51 wins, so currently the best record in baseball.
And Josh Hamilton, is he doing well again this year?
I think he's doing all right.
He's doing all right?
Yeah,
because I remember he went to the Angels and couldn't do anything. And he goes back to the Rangers, and he's good again, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so it's obviously, I like seeing my Cubs on top, but it's kind of nice to see the Rangers doing something. But other news in baseball, A-Rod has been getting benched the past few games on the Yankees, and obviously the Yankees are having a crappy season.
I was like, are they even good enough to bench
him? Yeah, it's like,
I mean, I'm all for benching him because of, you know, A-Rod.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I just wonder if he is still, you know, because Jeter's gone, their whole team that they had built, you know, from the 90s is obviously gone. I'm just wondering if, you know, they're just been benching it, if he's still, I don't know, is he still worth the money, you know, if the Yankees need to start rebuilding.
Since when have the Yankees cared about money? No, they'll pay like,
well, that's a lot of money to bench a guy, though. I mean,
yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, they'll pay like $100 million to some guy that had one good season, hoping that he can duplicate that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But, I mean, for me, I don't think they're really worried about the money.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a thing for him, like, they're going to want to trade him and they want to get someone else in there. I don't know who would trade for him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's not his old self.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think he's almost done. And then that's a lot of money to just bench a player, even if, you know, even if you are the Yankees. I mean, yeah. If I'm going to pay somebody that kind of money, you know, I'd be hoping that they'd be better. But
yeah, I mean, it's, yeah. First off, I don't know that you ever want to pay someone that much money, but if you do, just probably play him.
Yeah.
At least get some return back. You know, even if A-Rod, I mean, there's that video on ESPN that says Yanks view A-Rod as a part-time player. So that's maybe it's because of his age.
Part-time player.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know.
It's like, we're going to pay our regular employees 10 bucks an hour.
Yeah.
And we're going to pay this guy part-time 35 bucks an hour. Yeah, actually, more than that. I mean, because...
Oh, yeah. It's got to be like...
We're going to get you on salary. 1,000
an hour.
We're going to get you on salary. So, you know, even though you're not working as many hours, you're going to get paid more than everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know.
Makes a lot of sense, right?
I just wonder if, you know, since the passing of Steinbrenner, I just wonder if the Yankees have just lost that... You know, because Steinbrenner brought to the Yankees this, you're going to win, or I'm going to do whatever moves it takes to find somebody who will.
You can get that back, I mean, but you got to do something. Right now they're sitting at second to last in the AL East.
Yeah.
Which, like, how terrible is that? They're only 5 games ahead of the Rays, who are just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, they're behind the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Orioles.
Good teams. I mean, yeah. At least, you know. But so it's not like it's a crappy division, but still, it's
but
the Yankees.
Even as it is, you know, you can't get second to last in your division and not, you know, expect changes.
Yeah. Which is sad because it's like, you know, personally, I like Joe Girardi as a manager, and I think he's, you know, obviously he's got a World Series ring with them, and I hope he stays around, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got to turn it around. Especially because it's like, I think the last few times they've been to the playoffs, it's been they went out in the AL Division Series, so it's definitely not where you'd expect a team like the Yankees to end up.
Yeah, but I mean, it just kind of goes to show that, you know, team like things won't always stay the same, which is good because I mean, for years, the Royals just had the hardest time doing anything.
Yeah.
Finally are good again, and they won the World Series last year. So, I mean...
Yeah, and back-to-back pennants. And
yeah, and so, I mean, they're doing well, and it's awesome because when I was growing up, the Royals were kind of the laughingstock because, I mean, no one wanted to go there, and they didn't have, like, any good players. Every good player that they had would end up leaving.
Like Zach Greinke. Like, they lost...
Yeah, and they lost Mike Sweeney and Jermaine Dye. Like, I watched Carlos those Beltran. Guys play. Yeah, I was there like in 2001, I believe, and you know, I watched the Royals against the Rays game, and you know they hit like 7 home runs that game that the Royals did, and like Jermaine Dye left to go to Chicago to the White Sox.
Johnny Damon, now that I remember.
Yeah, I mean they had a lot of good players that could hit the ball.
Just can't keep them.
Yeah,
you know,
and I mean part of it is just because they couldn't keep. You know, keep up the, you know, everyone's chemistry or whatever, couldn't keep people motivated because even though they had all that talent, they still weren't winning a ton of games. But it's good that they've turned it around now and are doing pretty well. On the flip side, you've got like teams like Atlanta, who was great for so long.
Yeah, it was like 13 divisional championships in a row or something.
Yeah, and they were just, like they were one of the teams to beat in the league. And now they're sitting at 26-51. So I mean, it's interesting to see. In the you got the Phillies, they're not quite as bad, but not much better. They're at 34-45, but they were really good for a long time.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is cool to see like the turnover in the MLB, where the Yankees and the Braves and the Phillies that were all really good for a long time, and now they're all not doing so well.
Well, I think it forces teams to have to look at what they're doing in the clubhouse for sure. Because I mean, you had the you had the Cubs, who before Joe Madden, you know, and kind of what they've been doing for the past couple of years, it was just like not really setting themselves up to even be competitive because they spent money on aging guys like, you know, Derek Lee and just not really. And now that, you know, they're finally turning things around and getting some younger players and putting them through the system and so that they're actually working as a team. But yeah, so I think it'll force the Yankees to adapt, which I think is good, but
yeah,
still. A-Rod as a part-time player for that kind of money, I don't know. I just wonder if, like, maybe you should just...
I mean, how many years is left on his contract?
Can't imagine.
Isn't it about up? I feel like it's got to be about up.
It's getting close. And, you know, he's at the end of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, maybe it's just time to...
Hang him up.
Cut him loose, you know.
Yeah, I think so. Another thing that's interesting is, you know, the Royals won the championship last year, and... Oh, and they had all those, you know, all-stars that everyone was voting them in. And now they're not even, like, right now they're not even in the, not even going to make it to the wild card. Yeah. I mean, they're right behind it, so a lot can change, and there's a long season left, but...
Or they'd have to win the Central Division.
Yeah, I mean, so. They're 6 games behind the Cleveland Indians of all teams.
Which is like 10 wins in a row
yeah.
for the Indians.
They suddenly got inspired when the Cavs started winning, like, that... This 3 in a row to win the NBA Finals. I don't think they've lost.
And then the Browns
won't
do anything.
Cleveland suddenly playing like a team that wants to win, which is weird.
The city wants to win now.
Yeah.
Except for the Browns.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see what
you
happens.
Never know.
This year.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to count them.
They got a new coach. They got rid of Johnny Manziel, so maybe they'll do something. But they have a lot of holes, so I don't think they're going to be. I don't think they're going to be playoff caliber yet. But I don't think they're going to be as crappy as they have
been. Which it's like, you know, if you're speaking about, like, team history, which is kind of, you know, it's unfortunate that they've been terrible so long because, you know, you go back to the 80s when they used to battle with the Broncos for for the, you know, the AFC.
Yeah. And
so.
Yeah, they so don't mention the drive to anyone from Cleveland. They don't like that at all. It's one thing they will never forgive is the drive where John Elway led the Broncos 99 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, the dog pound not happy about that one.
No, not at all.
But anyway. But yeah, it's like the need to change. I think they need – but on the Yankees, though, I do think you can have that kind of success without Steinbrenner, but I do think they need to kind of like
– They got to do something, yeah.
They got to find that fire, though, because Steinbrenner – That's a real competitive fire in an owner that I don't think is seen very much in the majors.
Yeah. So. But I mean, that's really kind of the same boat anyone is in. If your team isn't winning, you've got to find a way to turn it around. You have to demand excellence. I mean, look at the Raiders. They've been terrible for years. Over a decade, they've just been awful. And they're suddenly, like, they're looking like they're going to be a pretty good team this year. Some people already have them winning the AFC West, but I think that's a leap because they might have the talent to do it, but I don't think they have the experience. So I don't think they're going to get it this year. They might get it next year. They could get it this year. I mean, I can't say that they won't, but I don't think they will.
But in all likelihood, probably not.
Probably not, but it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the whole, don't say it is
impossible.
Yeah,
we don't want to say never.
Because, I mean, they are a good team. They have lots of good pieces. They've done a great job managing the team since... Yeah, well, for a couple years.
Never.
For a while, they were just terrible at managing the team, and so they were just always terrible.
But I think they're also, though, you know, being in the same division as Denver, obviously, but then also Kansas City.
Kansas City's also good.
Kansas City, they're a little bit on the rebound.
So. Yeah, and San Diego almost always has a pretty good team. They got decimated by injuries last year, so kind of struggled there. But I wouldn't be surprised if they also were, you know, right up there. It might be the toughest division in football this year. Maybe, but anyway, for them, it's like, even though they've been awful for years, you know, they have, their saying that they use is commitment to excellence. And I laugh about it most years because they're not excellent at all. But I will say that, you know, they have been building something. So they finally might be getting back to excellence. And, you know, that is cool to see, even though, like, they're a rival. It's good to not have your rival always be just a punching bag for you.
Yeah.
Like, you want it to have some competitive games. You still want your team to win, but you want the games to be more competitive.
Well, and I think the AFC West is ripe for rivalries.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it's like Kansas City and Oakland, those games, you know, those are rivalry games.
Yeah.
Kansas City and Denver hate each other, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like it's a good division for those rivalry games
if
the teams are just better, you know.
Yeah. So it's no fun when you have a division where teams aren't very good. Like, oh, yeah, we've got the... It was like, so the AFC South was kind of a joke last year. Because Andrew Luck couldn't stay healthy because they couldn't keep him upright. But, like, you have the Jags and the Titans that both have been awful for years. But they're both on the upswing. The Jaguars could make it to the playoffs this year. But they're going to have to battle through the Texans and the Colts. And who knows, the Titans might make a push to kind of keep things interesting. But I don't see them having a chance to win the division. But, you know, it could happen.
Yeah,
but they're a little bit farther behind, so it's going to be tougher for them to do it.
Yeah, but I always see kind of like at least the AFC West is almost kind of, in terms of the rivalry between its teams, almost like the NFC North in a way, that all the teams may not be good necessarily,
but they're always competitive with
the games. The games are always at least most of the time really fun to watch.
Yeah. So. And. Yeah, the division that I would say is kind of the least competitive, or at least has been, is the AFC East, because the Patriots have just been so much better than everyone else in that division for years.
Well, it's not even really close.
It is again now, because the Jets should have made it to the playoffs last year, but they just fell just barely short. The Bills did all right, and the Dolphins did okay. But like for a while, like all three of those teams were just awful. But, like, that's another cool thing is, like, in the NFL, you know, things change year to year. Like, with the free agents moving as much as they do in the NFL, like, a team can go from, like, worst to first almost immediately.
Well, and with only 16 games a season, I mean, if you just get on a little bit of a hot streak, you're looking at a playoff spot, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's how the Giants won the Super Bowl the last two times with Eli against the Patriots. Like, they got hot at the right time. And when the Packers won the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers a few years ago, you know, they didn't have a great season. They came in and got hot in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. The Steelers have done that as well. Lots of times teams do that. The last 3 years, the number one seed from each team has made it to the Super Bowl. But lots of times you'll have a fifth or sixth seed or a fourth, whatever. It's kind of wide open depending on which team is healthy and which one gets hot. So a lot can change. But anyway, we're out of time. Sorry, 10:02. It's amazing how fast time goes when I'm spouting wisdom.
We're all here to learn. This is an educational channel.
Exactly. I mean, everyone, kids, put your stuff together. Let's gather around. Ethan's going to tell you a story.
It's a picture book, yeah.
Yeah. We want to thank everyone for listening. Just a reminder, make sure you're tuned in at noon for a chance to win tickets to the Slightly Stupid concert tomorrow in Salt Lake at the Complex. So, make sure you're listening because it's a pretty cool opportunity. Free tickets. Who doesn't like that?
Music.
And like I said before, I don't know exactly what Nate is going to do for the giveaway. But be ready to call or text in. I guess I should give you the number so you can be ready. He'll give it to you again. But if you do want to know, I believe the thing. Hold on. I'm looking it up. Actually, no. Okay, so it's 435-79-RADIO. 79-RADIO. So be ready for that. But once again, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Bullpen.